John Plant, back with you on the Sunday Breakfast here on WFUV. My guest this morning is a guy from the Northeast who fell in love with the wide-open spaces of the American West. He's transformed that passion into a new CD called Ride. I want to say hello to the first time on the Sunday Breakfast to Mark Berger.
Nobody gonna ride on the railroad and down Chestertown and he just said goodbye. Nobody gonna ride on the railroad. Once proud and shiny, now she's dusty and dry. Nobody rides, can't you hear that soulful whistling in the wind? Nobody rides, jump the rails and roared away around the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul on the line. Nobody rides on a train to make this great land mine. Buddy in a dance to the music. Don't call the Union Hall, it's boarded up tight. Nobody gonna dance to the music. Nobody gonna dance to the music tonight. Nobody rides, can't you hear that soulful whistling? Nobody rides, jump the rails and roared away around the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul on the line. Nobody rides on a train to make this great land mine. Hold on, dear old dad of mine, worked his fingers down to the bone. Hold on now, mama, don't you cry. Take you with me if I knew where to go. My Bible for a good piece of bread. Buddy gonna walk on the water. The train stole away and left us for dead. Nobody rides, can't you hear soulful whistling in the wind? Nobody rides, jump the rails and roared away around the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul along the line. Nobody rides on a train that made this great land of mine. Nobody rides. Nobody rides. Nobody rides. Ain't no more. Nobody rides on a train that made this great land of mine. What are you gonna ride on the railroad? Down Chestertown and he just said goodbye. Buddy gonna ride on the railroad. Once proud and shiny, now she's dusty and dry.
that great song, Nobody Gonna Ride the Railroad, is the song that leads off a new album called Ride by Mark Berger, who is my guest here in Studio A on the Sunday Breakfast. Welcome, Mark. How are you?
Thank you, John.
You brought some pretty fine musicians here with you. Could you introduce us to them?
Absolutely. On mandolin, the inimitable Rob Metter. He'll be playing a guitar on a later song as well. On the upright bass, Jeff Eirich.
Welcome back to Sunday Breakfast, Jeff. You've been here a couple times before.
On the fiddle and on the accordion on the last song, that's Denny Bonet.
Denny, always a pleasure to see you.
And my music partner and the co-producer of Ride on the Drums, Mike Riccardi.
Hey, Mike, good to see you too. Now, you're going to be doing a show in New York City this coming week, right?
Yes, this Thursday we'll be at the Living Room, 9 o'clock.
In terms of the album, clearly it's kind of a romance with the West. How did that begin for you?
Well, you know, I probably wouldn't have had this feeling if I had grown up out there. It would have been just normal to me, you mm-hmm. know. But I went on a road trip. Me and like a really crazy Arab friend of mine, we were like 21 years old. We got in a car and we just said, well, you know, we had a summer. Let's go see the country and chase girls and just have fun. Have, you know, just the Wild West. Just have a great time.
Sounds like a great 21-year-old thing to
totally,
do.
Totally. And but it's not exactly what happened. And the trip, you know, just really changed my life. I didn't really anticipate the effect it was going to have on me. But the scale of things and the way I felt out there, I mean, that first trip we didn't know. I mean, it was like we just treated the American West like it was a Milton Bradley game. We got to the Grand Canyon. There was no campsite. So we said, oh, let's go to Yosemite and drove through the Mojave Desert that night, you know. But it brought me into touch with, you know, a lot of the most wondrous places in this country. And then I kind of set my sights on going back and focusing on one at a time. And it just became, you know, I grew up in New York City. And so for me, I really didn't have a great desire to go to Paris if I had a vacation. This was my alternative. And so whenever I had time and could get away, it was my choice to get into, you know, wild areas, remote areas, more and more remote areas. And that became just the way I spent my leisure time. You know, with a purpose, I guess, is the way to put it.
Now, this song, Nobody Gonna Ride the Railroad, what do the railroads represent to you? And why is that kind of the lead song for this album?
Oh, I don't know how to answer that, John. Well, the railroad, of course, is associated with the West, you know, and the cross-continental trip. Not so much today, but back when. And, you know, the railroad in this song for me stands in for lots of things. You know, it's more, I think, more the sound and the feel of the thing that we're hoping approximates something that you associate with the American West rather than, you know, the direct lyrical message of that song.
How many railroads have you ridden on yourself?
Well, you know, I spent a couple of years in Long Island. So.
The LIRR?
Yeah, so I was on that one plenty.
That's a little different.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been on a number of railroads out West, but really not that many. It was more an image that I was looking for as a writer.
Yeah. To me, it's sort of a bygone era. Is that kind of what you're evoking?
Very much. Yeah. Very much. And, you know, the song is some... I mean, one thing I got as a jumping off point for how the song kind of got written, I think, is that during my 20s, after that first trip, every August I got in my car and I drove out West by myself. And it was... The thing that was terrific for me was when I got past Chicago and the real major population areas, I could jump off the interstate and get onto the two-lane blacktop roads that the interstates replaced, you know, and slow down to 30 in these towns and really have the environment come right up to your vehicle. And it was really different than just driving on the interstate, obviously. And so having done this over the course of years, I went through these towns, and it was in these years were, I guess, late 70s, early 80s, there really was a change in these small towns over that period of time and a decline. And I think that is somewhat reflected in me writing that song.
Did you set out to do a song cycle when you started this album?
You know, no. I had, Mike and I go so far back, and we had rock and roll bands and electric guitar bands and played all over downtown New York. But I always had some songs had something to do with the subject, you know, of the West. And at a certain point, it's traceable to an experience I had where I took a friend of mine for his first trip out West into a desert canyon on the border of Arizona and Utah. We got separated from each other for 24 hours, one of the most harrowing experiences I've ever had in my life. And when we reconnected, we just pretty much collapsed into this little lodge in a Navajo trading post. And the next morning we got up and went to breakfast, and I found a book on a rack called The Big It, which was a series of short stories by somebody I'd never heard of by the name of A.B. Guthrie. And it had an intriguing cover, so I bought the book. And the first story on the book is called The Therefore Hog. I highly recommend it. It's very funny. And it's about two cowboys who pull into a town in Nebraska in a blizzard where there's only one hotel room left and they have to share a bed. And that story just hooked me on this guy. And it's set on the top of the book by the author of The Big Sky. And so it led me to that book. And that book just, for me, communicated all the things I loved about the American West in a way that wasn't cowboys and Indians. And on an extremely profound level, I think he's one of the great American writers of the 20th century, even if not that well known. His follow-up book did win the Pulitzer Prize, but today most people still don't know who A.B. Guthrie is. But The Big Sky got me focused on the idea of creating this set of songs, because it seemed to me this is amazing cultural tradition in film and painting and literature, but you know, not so much in song. I mean, you have Home on the Range and Streets of Laredo, and somehow it didn't measure up, you know, to that same level of this great American mythology. And so Mike and I started discussing it, and that's really the launching pad.
Wow. Well, could you launch into another song for us here in the studio? Mark Berger and Company on WFUV.
Can I be your sweetheart? Through all times of stormy weather, who'll be there to calm me down? They'll say, don't they go together when we go riding into town? Singing, come to me, my soul surrender. Show me the way to your heart. To my affection, can I be your sweetheart? Put our roots down in the ground. Shout it out across the county. We'll get by together now. Sing, come to me, my soul surrenders. Show me the way to your heart. You are the object of my affection. Can I be your sweetheart? You are the object of my affection. Can I be your sweetheart? What's that?
That's Object of My Affection, Mark Berger here on WFUV, and a song from his album Ride. How far back does your serious interest in music go, Mark?
You know, it's funny. I don't know. This is the digression. Maybe I'm reading Keith Richards' biography.
I finally got around to it.
And I'm probably dating myself to some extent, but I was thinking about how those guys just so blew me out of the water when I was like a kid, and how in those days they would release a single before the album was out, before you can go buy it in a store. You might remember this yourself.
Might be dating myself a little bit there, too.
But I just...
They weren't 78s, though.
Yeah, I remember my parents had this little, like, I don't know if it was repainted. It was this pink little Philco radio. And I remember when Get Off of My Cloud came out on the radio. And in those days, you know, they would play a song once. And then, you know, I was a kid, you know, and you'd have to wait an hour to hear it again. You couldn't go to the store to get it. And when Mick Jagger hits the ground running on that song, and you don't know what he's talking about, and he really doesn't seem to care, I was so fascinated. I always think of that as like the moment when I started to just get, there you go, I don't know.
Well, for a lot of people, seeing the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, for you, it was not too far removed from that, I guess.
Yes, a little later.
Yeah.
Just Get Off of My Cloud.
Now, you went to law school, right?
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Did you ever practice law?
No. I really liked law school. I mean, I really liked studying law. I loved it. And I thought I would be a lawyer. I started writing songs while I was in law school, so I got started late. And the first songs that I wrote were god-awful. But by the time I had graduated, I thought I'd written a few that were pretty good. So I just felt like, well, I'll take this to a few publishers, and they'll all just say, okay, you can go practice law, and then I wouldn't always have this nagging feeling that what if I had tried?
Okay.
But I got signed to publishing contracts, you know, right away. And so it became apparent I was going to be a rock star. And so I decided not to practice law. Then I met Richie Havens, and he started doing a song of mine that got some attention. So, you know, it's really hard to have a band and be a litigator.
Well, there are a lot of lawyers who like to do it on the side, but to be serious about it, that's
yeah.
another matter.
Yeah, it's a serious matter to be a litigation attorney, and that's what I would have wanted to do. To me, that's like the legit lawyer, is the guy who argues cases before a jury.
Okay.
Very pedal to the metal.
I don't want to get into an argument with you in the studio here, unless we all gang up on you. So I'd like to ask first-time visitors to the program, Mark, about their angels and inspirations. And angels can be people who kind of, you know, do a mitzvah for you, as maybe Richie Havens did, and inspirations perhaps more specifically artistic.
Well, and for this particular concept album, certainly Guthrie, as I've indicated, but I would say, you know, probably my most serious, as you would call him, angel, would be Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience of encountering him as the, you know, the archetypal American artist, you know, and understanding really his role and the mold that he created, because, you know, effectively every American artist after him is a variation on what he invented and presented as the American poet. I love Schubert. In fact, one song that didn't make it onto this record is a little cowboy melody song I wrote to a little piano piece of his. So, I mean, it's a great variety.
There's a strong sort of visual dimension to the artwork and stuff. You actually brought in an enlargement of a photo of a butte here in the studio, which is a nice little touch. We don't get that very often.
Uh-huh.
And the album cover, the back cover, is a great photograph of a cowboy on horseback looking up at an airplane overhead. And I thought that must be sort of symbolic of what you're trying to do with this as well.
Very much so. And first of all, Mike is a... At a certain point in the project, we realized we were really in our own private Idaho making this record for a while because we didn't know how to create this very cinematic effect that we knew it needed. And we weren't studio guys, and so we really had to learn how to achieve that. And then when we got to the point where the record was really done, we looked at each other and said, well, we don't want to spend, you know, 10 years trying to figure out how to make a package for this that is, you know, harmonious with the musical creation. And so Mike took it upon himself to become a genius photographer, and he went out to the four corners, and now he has a whole nother artistic career going on.
Is this Mike's photograph?
It's his photograph, yeah.
Kudos to you. Wow.
Yeah, so other than the photograph you just mentioned, all the other artwork and the packaging was created by Mike. The photograph on the back is a photograph from 1938 by a great Western photographer by the name of Charles Belden,
yeah,
that I think is a really evocative picture about the clash of modern times and the romantic image of the American West.
You've also cited John Ford, the great director, and Frederick Remington, the great artist and sculptor. So I can see that there's a lot kind of going on here in terms of the video as well as the audio component of it. I'd like to go back to the audio component, if we could, and ask you to do another song that exemplifies what you're all about here.
Cool. This is a song called Twister.
The world hasn't found me. The well's about dry. And the Lord don't remember my name. And I wish I could lay here forever, marooned on the shores of your skin. But if you close your eyes and you listen real good, you can hear the change in the wind. Moonlight seems so pitiful now. Hold me tight, bring me that bottle. Soak me in love till the blast comes down. Maybe you can't run from Twister. You can't run fast enough. You can't run from the Twister. Twister's gonna swallow you up. Huh. Well, I woke when night was retreating, and I rode out to meet with the sun. And I await all its offers in the palms of my hand, till I found out the day was all done. And I rode over mountains and mesas, with the sky turning black in the west. And I entered your bedroom and climbed in your bed, buried my fear in your breast. Moonlight seems so pitiful now. Hold me tight, bring me that bottle, baby. Soak me in love till the blast comes down. Baby, you can run from. Twister's gonna swallow you up. You can't run. You can't run fast enough. You can't run from the Twister. Twister's gonna swallow you up.
That's a tune called Twister with a sizzling violin solo there by Denny Bonet. And a song from Mark Berger's album Ride, Mark and Company, my guests in Studio A here on WFUV. So, Mark, where do you live now?
Well, I live mostly in upstate New York, in Ithaca.
Ah, a fine college town where my daughter went to IC, among other things.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I live about 5 miles from town out in the country. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool place.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows it knows that.
It's got a lot of culture and a very progressive kind of culture as well.
Absolutely.
So with this love affair for the West, why not live out there?
Well, you know, if I had a place that really made sense for me to live, I guess I would. But there's no one place. There's so much of the American West that I love, and I go there when I can and want to. But I guess, you know, I'm a New Yorker ultimately and at heart. And I have a daughter who lives here, and, this is still where I'm from.
There is kind of a risk of over-romanticizing the West, over-idealizing it, or even caricaturing it. You know, I think of Blazing Saddles, or I think of Dusty and Lefty on Prairie Home Companion, you know. How do you separate, or how do you avoid that trap yourself?
Well, I think that there, it's like any kind of art. Even if you talk about John Ford, if John Ford wasn't saying something about the human condition, it wouldn't matter that it was in the West, you know? The fact of the matter is, and even in Guthrie's books, you place something somewhere. But, one of the reviews of Ride that what the guy said was that not so much Meditations on Plains Life as about life itself. And so what I liked about it was taking this great American myth, which is, so alluring and will always be across the world, and kind of using it as the stomping grounds for a lot of things I wanted to communicate about. So the West is the kind of the geography, but there are certain values that people associate with it that does make it have that resonance, which has to do with hearing yourself think and breathe, space and room to exist in, just opportunity, and freedom. And there's very big concepts that people associate on a very deep level with this subject, which is why it just doesn't go away, And so, yeah, sure, you can poke fun at it because, let's face it, there's a lot of trashy art associated with this subject too, as you've pointed out. Not that I don't like Blazing Saddles. I think it's brilliant. But yeah, for me, I think that it speaks to a lot of things that are kind of missing in modern culture too, and I wish there were more of.
You mentioned The Big Sky, the novel by A.B. Guthrie. We think of Montana as the big sky country.
Right.
Is that your favorite state?
I would say my favorite state is actually Utah.
Okay.
Montana just worked as a song. I do love Montana. Yeah. In fact, but I'm a little nervous about playing Montana in Colorado. but Utah, I would say my absolute favorite place in the world is southeastern Utah.
Okay. Frank Zappa used to do a song called Montana, going out and raising some dental floss.
That? Well, yes.
That's another place to go altogether. But could you do Montana for us here?
Absolutely. Big Sky Country, knew I had a home on this earth. Montana, Montana, rocking me under your heavenly skies. Montana, Montana, gonna love you till the day I die. Got a home on a mountain, a home in the valley, a little lake and a little land. When I get crazy, there's a flathead woman, tell me I'm her loving man. Montana, Montana, rocking me under your heavenly skies. Montana, Montana, gonna love you till the day I die.
yeah, when it's raining on the prairie. You can hear the angels sing. And there's a mist on the river strips on the griddle. The sun's coming up on the great highway with the Rockies rising in the clouds so gentle you forever take my breath away. Montana, Montana, rocking me in heavenly skies. Montana, Montana, gonna love you till the day I die. Oh, I love you till the day I die.
A little love song to Montana. That's a tune from the album Ride by Mark Berger, who's been my guest this morning here on the Sunday Breakfast. Mark, if people want to find you online,
www.markbergermusic.com, and it's MarkBerger, music.com.
And they'll find you at the Living Room this coming Thursday night.
Yeah.
I want to thank you and your great musicians here, Rob Meter on the mandolin and guitar, Jeff Eyrick on the upright bass, Mike Riccardi on the drums, and Denny Bonet on the violin and accordion. And thank you for sharing this music with us here on WFUV.
My pleasure, John. Thanks so much for inviting me.
WFUV gets support from Bank Street College of Education on West 112th Street in Manhattan. Bank Street offers master's programs with small classes and an emphasis on learners.